Hi, I'm Wendy Francis, nutrition therapist, emotional eating expert, and entrepreneur. I've helped countless people overcome their obsession with food and weight. Isn't it time you overcame what you had become and ignite who you were meant to be? Your time to become an overcomer starts now. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Overcoming Your Emotional Eating. And thank you so much for joining me. In today's episode, I'm talking about getting over things, or more so, why can't we get over things? Why do we hold on to things that don't serve us anymore, that don't help us, or maybe that we can't control? Things in the past, things that have happened to us, or things that we've done to others. Our ability as humans to hold on to things and ruminate can either propel us into a better place or spiral us into depths unknown. Take a listen to today's episode so you can continue to overcome what you had become. And take a look now at www.wendyfrancis.com. We've got some new layouts and some new things for you on there. Take a look at our courses. We've got End Your Emotional Eating, E3, to be able to help better serve you, do some own inner exploration and journeying around how you got to where you are and how to get out of it. Thanks again for listening. Tonight, I'm talking about something just a little bit different, but all related to food and eating, and I will explain how this subject that I'm talking about tonight really crosses that boundary line very easily, even though people don't think that it does. It's not the forefront of nutrition or vitamin or mineral packets or anything of that nature. It is more along the lines of an emotional component, but it absolutely affects how we live our life and how we feed our bodies. In essence, what I want to talk tonight about is about letting go and getting over things. Now, how is this related? It's not just because I'm reading an amazing book called Letting Go by David Hawkins, who's an MD and PhD. And anybody who has those five initials behind their name, I know, had to have been in school a long time and learned a lot of things. But he's got an amazing book out there called Letting Go that I'm ravagely going through right now. But it brought up the subject of letting things go and getting over things and not holding on to resentments or fears or frustrations, not holding on to our past, not holding on to how we used to look, not holding on to how we used to eat, not holding on to how we used to feel. All of those things I'll address tonight so you can really understand how letting go and getting over things can radically impact how we eat and how we feel about ourselves and our bodies, as well as our relationships with other people and ourselves. Henry Ford, I love this quote, said, "It doesn't take a lot of strength to hang on. It takes a lot of strength to let go." I believe that immensely. And the longer I live, the more I believe it. It's kind of like the old adage of, you know, it doesn't take a strong person to be strong. It actually takes a strong person to be weak and vulnerable. And I believe in that too. So why do we hold on to things so tightly? Past hurts, rejections, fears, maybe our past shoulds or our rules or our feelings. In my experience, the holding on to these things so tightly makes it difficult for us to move on. They keep us stuck. They keep us unhealed. They keep us unable to move forward. And they get stuck in parts of us that no longer serve us. They weigh us down. They change us on the inside and out. They build up emotionally, and we run in patterns with these old things trying to dance. But we can really only stumble and fall into our old emotions and thoughts, patterns, and feelings. We cannot change those because we cannot let go. And in holding those, we weigh ourselves down emotionally, with food, psychologically, and sometimes in our bodies. For years and years and years and years, I couldn't let go of things that had happened between my father and I. Not all of you know my story, and I'm not going to tell it all right now because this is really about you and not about me. But I know about not letting go. There were years that I didn't let go of anger and anguish that my father had between us. I held it so tightly that the anger drove me in good ways and bad. As I got older, I recognized this, but still couldn't change it. I still held tight. You see, the anger had a payoff. That anger paid off in making me drive myself through college, undergraduate, graduate school, start my private practice early, learn how to help people. It drove me in those ways. It also drove me in negative ways. It drove me in ways that I overworked and I didn't play enough and I didn't find joy. Because you can't find joy when you hold on to things from the past because you're not open to do it. So I still couldn't change that. As I aged, and so did he, neither one of us could let go of those old hurts. Neither one of us could let go of the old patterns and the old anger. I think a lifetime went by, so to speak, until I got a phone call that it was his time to pass. My stepbrother, who was enormously emotionally intelligent in a moment, said to my father, "Do you want to see Wendy?" And he put his thumbs up. He was to the point that he couldn't speak, he couldn't drink, he couldn't eat. And in that, the resilience of that man to put his thumb up drove me on a plane to leave my babies, to go and see him, to finally sit with him for his final 24 hours. And in that, we laid to rest the anger and the anguish that had followed us literally for 37 years. We missed many years of connection. And in hindsight, we missed so many opportunities for joy and love. But we were so busy holding on, we couldn't let go. Fear and guilt and anger bring us into disease and dying, which inevitably was one of the things that drove my father's body to pass early at the age of 70. Why can't we let go? It's a question I ask myself. You know, I am human just like everybody else. And many people I talk to, many clients that I've talked to over the years have held on to things, whether it's about themselves, not forgiving themselves for something, or maybe not forgiving somebody else. There are reasons why we can't let go. According to neuroscience, the brain handles negative and positive information differently. Negative experiences require more thinking and thus are processed more thoroughly. So in negative experiences, we think about them and think about them and think about them. It causes our brains to become better at remembering adverse events. I also recognize, and I know this, that if we continue to process these events, we feel like we can try to change them. To forget that sense, like, why do I keep thinking about this? I don't get it. It's over. It's in the past, but I can't stop thinking about that. Well, a lot of that is because we are trying to figure out a way to change them or make them different. Even though we know we cannot, we try. We think we can. We can't let it go. Eckhart Tolle, who is one of the most popular spiritual authors in the U.S., once said, "There is a fine balance between honoring the past and losing yourself in it." So I want you to hear that again. There's a fine balance between honoring the past and losing yourself in it. You can acknowledge and learn from the mistakes you made and then move on. It's called forgiving yourself. And so what do we do to let go of things? How do we even do this, right? Because all of us hold on to things, and some are big things. The thing that I told you about, I would consider a larger holding on to. But many of us hold on to small things that just add up during the day. I didn't say this right. I didn't do that right. I didn't eat that right. All of those things we hold. And so how do we stop? Well, first and foremost, we can stop trying to be the hero of our story. We can stop trying to be perfect. We've all been hurt. We've all done wrong things. It's sad. It's embarrassing. Nobody wants to look weak. Nobody wants to look like they've done something wrong. So sometimes we can construct an idealized version of the past. We blame others and taking ownership instead of taking ownership of what happened. Because if we take ownership, then a lot of times we feel like we have to feel that terrible guilt and shame. The truth is you don't. You can feel the feelings. You can understand what happened. And in that, you can also just learn from it and move on forward. Second, don't let others define who you are. In order to let go, you've got to stop blaming other people, because when we blame other people when things go wrong, it makes us lose control. We let them define the terms of how we live. I mean, you can't control what other people do, but you can control how you react. So focusing on what other people did to you is a distraction. You can't change what they've done. You can only change who you are and what you've done. And you can't change the past, right? You've got to learn from it and move forward. That's how you can let go. And in that, you can regain control of what you can manage and choose to live your life on your own terms, not someone else's. In learning to let go, one of the biggest things you have to do is learn to forgive yourself. When something goes wrong, we tend to blame ourselves. We have a hard time accepting that we make mistakes and let our perfectionism mindset take over. And in that, it might not be a perfectionism mindset, but it might be, I didn't get it just right. I need to get it better. We all make mistakes. We've got to learn to forgive ourselves. Errors can be corrected. Connections can be made that were broken. Mistakes are never a final decision, but more so a stop that actually prepares us for the journey of life. We must learn from them and continue to move forward so we don't get stuck. In that, you've got to let your problems not define you. You see, when we get stuck in a problem, it becomes hard to separate the event from who we are. I've sat with so many clients that felt like in them eating bad foods and gaining weight, or eating one bad food in anorexia and not gaining weight, or under eating and losing weight, that the line of separation between what they ate and who they are was radically crossed. And that boundary or identity became congruent and together. And so what I mean by that is, if I eat bad foods, I am a bad person. If I eat bad foods, I am bad. And the reality is we know that what you do is not who you are. We know that. What you eat is not who you are. What you do is not who you are. And even if you do something outside of food, right, it doesn't define who you are. According to Eckhart Tolle, we create and maintain problems because they can give us a sense of identity. Now, this is a really interesting concept, and I want you all to follow me because I really believe it to be true. I've seen this happen with many of my clients. If we stay stuck in a problem that has passed, whether that problem is an eating problem, an emotional problem, a situation or environmental problem, when we stay stuck in those, they can create an identity for us. We become that thing. We become that survivor. We become that person with an eating disorder. We become that person with, you know, schizophrenia. We become that person who's depressed. We become this identity. Conversely, you can become an accountant. You can become an associate in business. But that's not your identity. Your identity is really who you are, and we will let our problems define us. Then it becomes our identity. And in that, you've got to let go of your past story, because that's how you can make peace with yourself. That's how you can forgive yourself and really, truly, truly let go. Because what you've got to do is detach from that identity. All our struggles stem from attachment. We're so in love with someone that we can't separate the me from the we. We're so passionate about our careers that we let our job title define our identity. There's nothing wrong with loving someone, loving our jobs. In fact, I hope you love people in your life and you love your job. The problem is when we're so attached to them that the fear of losing them does not allow us to enjoy them today. Letting go of the past is not forgetting what happened, but it's letting go of the expectations of what we thought was going to happen, acknowledging and accepting what did happen, and that not letting ourselves suffer from the ramifications of the way it went. We suffer because we wanted it to last forever in the good way. We suffer because we live in the guilt and the shame and we don't let the event go. Instead of letting broken expectations get stuck in your mind, you can honor the positive experiences, both past and present. When we don't let go, we disenable us from moving forward. And in being stuck, we change forever sometimes our inner being, our inner thoughts, feelings, emotions. And yes, it can change our eating and how we treat our body. We can and will use eating as a distraction, as a way to avoid, as a release for anger, fear, rejection, yearning, longing. The movement towards letting go allows you to move towards joy, love, abundance, lightness, and peace. Deepak Chopra said, in the process of letting go, you will lose many things from your past, but you will find yourself. I believe this to be true. In fact, I know it to be true. And the more we let go of what we had done, the more we can become now.
Thanks for listening. If you like this podcast, share it with a friend. Rate, review, and subscribe. You never know who you'll help become the next overcomer.